She used my CV because I said she could. Some stuff prostitutes for you UK people. And she used my CV. I said, go ahead, baby. And she said, can I use your cell phone? I tell her like this. I said, hell no. Just like that. And her exact words, well, you ain't got to be a bitch about it. Right then and there, as soon as she said it, I snatched her by her hair, I grabbed her by her throat, I drug her to the sleeper part of the truck, and it was Kurt. Right then and there, no questions asked. It took a while. Believe that. It ain't like what you see in the damn movie. It takes a while. Sometimes your hands get cramped. And just to make sure, listen to the reason, just to make sure it's done, I would take a plastic bag, I would put it over her head and duct tape it, and I would strip her down, get ready for disposal. I would put her in a fetal position, so when rigor mortis set in at night, I got to dump her. She's ready for disposal. But it takes a while. No, at that time, she don't know. She's shocked. She's in shock while I'm doing this, and she thinks, any minute, I'll stop. And then, when reality finally set in, she like, from that state, from pass out to the last state, and she just had that state. Now she realized, man, this is real. It ain't nothing I can do about it. It's too late then.
Hey viewers, so many of you may remember, I think it's about 3 or 4 years ago now, we did a series of videos with Phil, who is an expert in serial killers. When we were talking to him last, various serial killers were calling him on the phone. One's going to be calling him today, Delmas. We talked to Delmas last time. It's going to be a part two with Delmas. Phil's also got another book out. And we are going to be talking about that and the myths of serial killers. We've got loads of questions sent in from the viewers for Delmas. We'll put them to him when he calls in in about 10 minutes or so. But congratulations on your new book, man. Is that available now for people?
No. It comes out this summer. I've got two books out on juvenile homicide, teen killers, but I've got this new serial killer book called My Friends Are Monsters, and it will be out this summer everywhere books are sold.
And which serial killers do you feature in that book?
Oh, thousands.
Thousands.
Thousands. For real. For real. It kind of is a 40-year, I've been at this, Sean, for 40 years. I'm really old, and I've got a 40-year career. And I'm going to cap it with this hardcover book that covers why kids kill, crime prevention, school safety. I get to know the myths of serial killers. I started doing this. I'm the only one that's done this research where I interviewed a bunch of guys that killed real estate agents and, you know, abducted them from their open houses and buried them and kidnapped them. It's crazy. So I've got a section on that. And I've got a section on, you know, when I really dig into the myths, we could talk about some of those myths. It blows people's minds because none of this stuff is really reported in the media. So if you like listen to the mainstream media, you would not know what's happening here. So a lot of stuff we could talk about today. I'm open to all questions and let it rip, man.
And all of Phil's links are in the description box below this video if you're watching the YouTube version. So please go down and support him and follow him. And, you know, we think of the serial killer as someone like the Yorkshire Ripper in this country who preyed right on vulnerable women, on sex workers. But you said real estate people. Is that a genre now of serial killers?
No, it's just a genre of a killer who targets these mostly women, but it's not all women. And they're just vulnerable. Like, you know, like they go into a vacant home or they go into a house with no one home and they invite, hey, everybody, we're having an open house. Come see me. And they invite good people and bad people. And, you know, the bad people think these real estate agents are rich. So they go in and they shoot them dead, grab their valuables, or they kidnap them, put them in the trunk of the car and take them with them. I mean, it's wild, the stories. And I interviewed a few of those guys from prison, and it's all going to be featured in a chapter of the new book called Deadly Open House.
And would you say that was all financially motivated then?
No. Well, no. I would say it's half and half. Half of it was financially motivated, and the other half was for sexual reasons. Either sexual reasons or anger reasons.
Since we last spoke to you, Phil, have there been, I know you've dealt with thousands of cases, have there been any cases that have come to light that you've investigated that have really struck your mind?
You know, let's just talk about myth number one of American serial killers. And this is crazy and it blows people's minds. People think serial killers in America are white males, right? Would you say that, Sean? White males?
I think the Hannibal Lecter stereotype has been spread all over the world.
Michael Myers, and you just keep on going. But actually now in the U.S., in the last 20 years and today, 60% of serial killers in America are actually black males, so African Americans, and only 31% are white males. So we have a new profile in the U.S. that nobody knows, and we're going to break this in the book, as most serial killers are actually black males. And so I've been studying them, and you know, you asked how many serial killers in my new book. Well, there's the longest list of black male serial killers ever posted, ever published. There's over 1,000. When I ask people in my live shows, can you name a black male serial killer, they come up with two if they're lucky. They have no idea this is happening. So it's important for me because I care about all victims, right? And the media doesn't care. In the United States, the media doesn't care about all victims. They only care about some victims. And unfortunately, a lot of victims don't get coverage. And I'm going to be speaking for the voiceless, the victims that never got any coverage, the black females and the black children that were murdered and never got any news coverage at all. That's one of my passions right now, is talking about that.
Well, that's mind-blowing, because if you look at the percentage of people who are black in America, I think last time I looked, wasn't it less than 20%?
Yeah, it's less. It's like 15%.
And you're saying they are now almost two-thirds of all serial killers?
60%.
How do you explain that?
It's the numbers. I mean, if you came to my live training, by the way, Sean, you need to bring me to London. Let's just say that. You could actually sit in on my 8-hour class and see all the crime scenes and the calls and everything I get. But in my training, I say, all right, everybody, listen up. And I'm talking to mostly law enforcement professionals. I'm like, can someone name one of the last 10 serial killers arrested in the U.S.? And most of the time, they can't think of any, which is hilarious. And then sometimes they raise their hand. They're like, the Long Island serial killer, Lisk, you know, the Gilgo Beach serial killer from New York. And I'm like, okay, yes, that's the only white guy that got arrested in the last 2 years. And then there's one Hispanic serial killer that was stabbing people in California, and the rest of them are all black males. And people are just stumped. They are shocked, and they start writing the names down because they can't believe it. But then they Google it, like, we did have a serial killer in Florida. We did have a serial killer in Dallas. You know, we just had arrested a guy. Well, America's deadliest serial killer, Sam Little, killed 93 people. He killed more than Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, and John Wayne Gacy combined. And law enforcement just closed 50 of his cases, which is incredible. So things are a-changing here in the U.S.
So when we spoke to Delmas last time, he said that his victims were predominantly white women. When we look at other serial killers, it seems to be a lot of female victims.
Right.
Is there a difference between the victims, how they are classified for black serial killers versus white serial killers?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Sean. That's another myth. The old myth is that the serial killers kill within their own race. So the myth, this was true back in 1950. If you had a white serial killer killing, it would be white females, let's say, the Boston Strangler. We had another guy who was killing little boys in Atlanta. He was a black male. All the children were black. The Atlanta child killer, Wayne Williams. So that was the old days. Today, good question. And Delmas is a good example of it. White serial killers, and by the way, the reason I say white or black, is all my black friends, please, they beg me, say, please don't say African American. That's offensive to us. I said, okay, I'm going to say black. White serial killers kill 95% of the victims are white. So white serial killers typically kill white victims. Except for somebody like Jeffrey Dahmer, the Green River Killer, they killed a little bit outside of the race. Where on the flip side, black serial killers kill mostly white victims. But they do have a lot of black victims. 46% of their victims are black. So the way I flip it upside down is if you're an investigator here in the United States, you have a serial killer on the loose, you're working a case, and the victims are black, you're probably going to have a black serial killer because simply white serial killers typically don't kill black victims. But if you have white victims, you should open up your suspect list to all races because people like Delmas Colvin kill mostly white victims. But Delmas is, when he calls, he'll tell you, but his victimology, he killed mostly white victims. He had one black female. I should say this. He had almost all white females, one black female, and two white males, which is interesting.
Are there any other?
Let me say another thing, Sean, while we're right here. Let's just go right into another myth. We see these movies like Halloween, Michael Myers, and we see all this stuff on TV and the movies. And people have this mentality that most serial killers, 93% of American serial killers are male. So most serial killers are male. So we think, obviously, they're killing females. So I'll go to like a professional expert conference, and I'll hear some guy talking from the stage. He's like, yeah, you know, American serial killers, you ladies need to be careful. And the truth of it, the myth, that's a myth. The truth is the serial killer victimology is 50-50. American serial killers kill just as many men as women. Like Jeffrey Dahmer doesn't kill women. John Wayne Gacy doesn't kill women. William Bonin doesn't kill women. Dean Corll doesn't kill women. So there's a lot of guys that kill men and boys. And so it's 50-50.
Now, does sexual orientation play into who they choose as victims, male or female?
If it's a sexually driven crime, if they're lust killers, then they will kill, obviously, their preference, right? So if it's a lust killer and they're heterosexual, they're going to kill females. If they're homosexual, they're going to kill males. If they're not lust killers, so here's the thing. Sean, ask me the question, you know, how are all these serial killers, how are they the same? Like, what do they have in common? And here's my answer. What they have in common? Nothing. They're all different. And once you kind of get this wrapped around your mind, is they're not all Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy, and Ted Bundy. You got to get rid of that. Everybody's different. They kill from a whole bunch of reasons. And some kill because they're angry. Some are racist. Some are in a, you know, they just hate prostitutes, the Green River Killer. I mean, everybody has a reason. But once you kind of get that, I'd say half are lust killers and half are anger retaliatory killers. So when you're killing because you're angry, you'll kill anybody. But if you're killing because it's sexual in nature, you're going to kill those that you're attracted to.
So what other serial killer trends have emerged that counter these myths?
Okay, so I'll just walk you through. And then if you have any questions about each one, let me know. These will all be in my new book, by the way, and I'm going to have hundreds of cases backing this up. So most serial killers are black males. The serial killers are white is a myth. Serial killers kill within their own race. You already brought that up. That's a myth. Oh, here's another myth, Sean. Serial killers kill up close and personal. So we have this myth that serial killers want to come up on you and strangle you and stab you, and it's close contact. That's a myth. 40-something% of serial killers in America shoot people. So we have it's a new profile. What we're seeing here now, we just arrested another guy. Where was he arrested at? Another guy, Miami, Florida. They walk around at night and shoot and kill homeless people. And most of them are black males. So that's a new profile here. So the old myth of, you know, sneaking around and strangling women is kind of disappearing a little bit. Even though most serial killers are male, there's a myth that all serial killers are male. And it's not true. There's about 4,000 American serial killers, and we've had about 300 females. So everybody knows Eileen Wuornos because they made a movie called Monster about her. But the deadliest American serial killer. Eileen killed seven. Warnos killed seven. America's deadliest serial killer has killed 11. And her name is the Giggling Granny, Nanny Doss, which is kind of interesting. People don't know who that is. Yeah, we talked about the victimology, male and female victims. In the United States, we talk about which states have the deadliest serial killers. And some of the smaller states, believe it or not, have a lot of serial killers. Florida, where Disney World is the number three. So all of you people living in Australia and Europe and the UK, when you come and see Mickey Mouse, just remember Disney World is located in Florida, and it's the third deadliest serial killer state in the United States. And we always have active serial killers in Florida. We just arrested one in Fort Lauderdale, Miami, and Tampa. Okay, they're always here. So be careful. There's a myth that here's a myth, and you might have this in the UK too, Sean, is that, you know, with all the technology and the cameras and the DNA, there's not too many serial killers active anymore, right? That's a myth. The truth is the FBI in America says there'd be at least 50 at any given time. I believe there's at least 100 or more, because you only have to kill two or more to be a serial killer in the United States. Only two or more. And I don't know if the UK follows the FBI guidelines, but it used to be three or more. Now it's two or more with the cooling off period. I believe there's over 100 at any given time. And I believe, just like the call that's coming in right now from prison, Delmas Colvin is a truck driver. And he is an example of what we're going to talk about now, is he is why we do this. So we got Delmas Colvin on the phone, serial killer truck driver. Strangled 50 women driving a semi truck.
Lebanon Correctional Facility. To accept this call, press 0.
He took off the afternoon off of work to talk to Sean Atwood. You're special, Sean.
Oh, thank you.
He likes you. He's going to say something. He likes you. He likes your buddy, your guy, your producer, Ron. He likes Ron.
Thank you for using
me. Hey, are you on the phone there? Are you live?
I am. I'm right here in paradise.
So, Sean, tell me if you can hear Delmas Colvin.
Yes, I can hear him. Can he hear me, or do you have to repeat what I say?
Can you hear Sean? Go ahead, Sean. Say hi to Delmas Colvin.
Hey, Delmas. It's been a while. How's it going in there?
Hey, it's going great. I hear you loud and clear. Copy, man. I hear you loud and clear.
We can hear you.
Yes.
Sean wants to know how it's going in paradise land where you live.
Same old shot. This is prison. Nothing changed, you know. Same day, different shit, but vice versa, you know. The natives have all out. They rested. I'm usually not here this time of day. I'm usually at work making melon out licensing. And that is not a myth. Prisoners, we do make license.
Sean, did you know American prisoners make license plates? Did you know that?
They are a huge labor force for the government, aren't they?
But they don't make license plates anymore, right? Now you just make license tags.
Yes, everything is flat face now. You don't punch them no more. It's done by a big ass thing that's called a Raptor. It's a 3M machine that rented from the DMV and made tags for all of Ohio, personalized. I mail them out. You know, I'm more like a clerk. I got a desk job. I'm too old for that manual labor. So I don't do that no more.
So, Delmas, we are talking about the myths of serial killers, and one of the myths, my number one myth, is most serial killers are black. They're not white like people think. You are a black male. You are a black male, correct?
Yes, I am. The myth's been, you know, white guys for the longest, you know, but, man, we live in changing times now. Don't forget, there's some women out there, too, now. This other day, this woman had 10 husbands. All of them died mysteriously, and she ain't behind bars yet.
So when you were arrested, Delmas, you had a fiance. You were engaged to a white female, and you had a pretty nice life. Tell them about your normal life of, you know, going on vacation and having a fiance. Talk about your life.
I had a great life. I just became owner operator of my own truck. Had a very lovely woman. She could cook, and I made great money just by trucking along, you know. And I get down in Texas, I bring a little bit of that marijuana back, get 500 a pound, and I sell it at $1,000 a pound. I took lovers vacation. I hadn't been all through the Caribbean. Only place I hasn't been was on Cuba, because back then it was, the embargo was, it wasn't lifted then. But took lavish vacation. I mean, the Bahamas, St. Croix, St. Thomas, Jamaica. I've been to Hawaii several times.
Have you ever been to the UK? Have you ever been to UK?
It was on my list. I always wanted to go to London.
If we get you out of prison, we're going to take you to London to see Sean Atwood.
Do that. I love them. I can't pronounce the French crepes, that dessert. I had one at a French restaurant in New York. Oh, it was so good.
So I'm going to let Sean ask you a couple questions, Delman. Go ahead, Sean. Sure. Talk to Delmas directly. Away, I think he can hear you.
Delmas, your life sounded absolutely fantastic. Why did you risk it? Why did you risk losing it?
Well, I love the British accent. So I risked losing it, Sean. Well, I was in it for 24 years. Man, the last thing on a guy's mind is he's going to get caught. Come on, now. That was the furthest thing. Man, when you got 24 years, Sean, I got stopped twice with a body in the sleeper of my truck. So after that, hell, you know, that was the first thing on my mind that I actually get caught, but hell, I did, you know. So it wasn't like what you say. I risked it. It was what I was doing, you know. It's, I guess, you know, Murphy Law.
I guess if you get away with it for so long, Sean, you guess you're gonna never get caught, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's what he's telling himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of questions from the viewers here, and I know you've got limited time.
Almost get ready.
So I'll try and get through them. We've got a question from John. Does Delmas believe he was born evil, or he became evil through his life?
Delmas, were you born evil, or did you become evil?
I became evil. Man, I was a nerd. Man, look here. I can count the number of fights I had from elementary to high school on one hand. And I ain't never been suspended from school. I ain't never got a whooping. My father didn't believe it, man. The worst thing I did as a kid was, I got caught riding a mini bike across on a public street, you know. The only reason the damn cop caught because it ran out of gas. I put up with a lot of shit from my stepmother, from my father's new wife, all through high school, you know, sir. And as I got older, I ain't put up with this shit no more. You can say I became evil only at that time, okay?
Gotcha.
I don't wake up evil. I ain't never woke up at all. It's a great day. I think I go strangle something. I ain't never did that. I go about my day now, and someone was to piss me off, it was curtains, you know? So, devils wasn't born evil. But devils, I ain't going to say devil became evil, but devils can do evil things.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know, Delmas will say that he didn't go hunting for victims. They chose him.
Right.
So they made him angry. They disrespected him, and then he would kill them. Like most of us would be mad, and we'd say, "I'm going to kill that guy," but we don't.
Yeah,
Delmas just does.
I just tell John that's what I'm quite sure John had that. Somebody cut him off. Oh, I kill that son of a bitch. Between me and John,
he actually does it.
So.
Go ahead, Sean. Next question. Well,
both times Delmas has referenced his stepmom. How bad did it get with his stepmom?
How bad was it with your stepmom, Delmas?
Oh, I hated her, and I let her know it. I wouldn't allow her to whoop me, whoop my brothers, my sisters, when, you know, her kids. I didn't give a shit about her. Oh, I was married. I was bad there. I couldn't, and I let her know. One day I was showing my brother how to shoot a bow and arrow, and he got crooked and went through the window and stuck in the kitchen cabinet where it was. Now, that was a pure accident, but I had an arrow in mind. I said, next time I won't miss, you know. And I didn't know she was in the kitchen at the time. Oh,
no, Delmas, tell Sean who you first thought about killing when you were 14. Tell him that story.
It was her. She told me to do something. I said, no, you ain't my mother. I told her to piss off. And she got fly at the mouth. I thought about it then. I was trying to actually recruit my brother to help. But I'm sorry. But that one looked real funny. A 14-year-old. Guy trying to dispose of her flat ass body, driving down the street, a public street, from the farm on tractor pulling a trailer, you know. So that's the only reason I was 14. I let her know I didn't like it. I let her know I was, you
So, Sean, he thought about killing at 14 and he didn't, but he started killing at 24 and got arrested at 48. So he was active 24 years.
So a lot of people have wicked stepmoms. It's like a cliche. But what's different about Delmas that it contributed to him going so extreme in what he did later on?
Well, see, what you consider extreme, I considered it was normal, because first of all, I didn't have a bad record, you know, as far as you ain't never worry about, oh man, your driver was here, he was rude, he was this, that wasn't me. Always been polite to everybody. I want to just say it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. I didn't have that type of baggage or that image, you know. Only when that time came. Now, when someone really owed me money, pissed me off, refusing to pay, I wouldn't hesitate. I beat up a guy in a wheelchair. People don't understand. The reason I did, because the fucker owed me $300, and he was acting funny. So I pushed him down the steps in the wheelchair, didn't give shit about it. But next week, I had my money, you see. That's the point I'm getting at here, you know. If you owe me, pay me. You know, I mean, just don't owe me and keep brushing me off. But just like in here, I got a guy in here, I had to choke in the stairwell because he owed me 2 bags of coffee, and he keep, I'm going to get it, you see. And this is prison, you know. So you spare no one.
So Delmas and I have a little disagreement, Sean. I believe every time he kills someone, he's strangling his stepmother.
I don't know why people say that.
That's what I think.
I never get that. Everybody thinks that. But I tell them, shit. When I strangle someone, it's the person I'm strangling. You see, I'm a pissed up. You know, it's that person. Because I don't believe in taking my vengeance out on other people. I believe in taking out on a person that pissed me off or owed me money or just ain't right, you know.
So what else you got? What else you got?
I don't mind giving them the business.
What else you got, Sean?
We got a question from Teresa.
Teresa?
Did Delmas dabble in the occult or have any type of supernatural experience, or feel that his thoughts were not his own thoughts, but intrusive thoughts that were detached and he felt compelled to act upon them?
You ever get involved in the occult, or did the devil make you do any of this?
Oh, my God. That's a good question. Ain't no one asking that. No, I cannot say that. I cannot use the devil as a scapegoat. And I won't. No, I never thought of it like that. You know, I mean, ain't no one ever asked me that. As far as being intrusive, well, you know, I'm more like in the moment type guy. Just look at it like a light switch, okay? When you turn it up, when you flip it up, you expect the light to come on. When you turn it, hit it the other way, you expect the light to go out. Now, if you're not having a conversation or something, if they are that rude and they consider this way nasty to me, that light switch going off right then and there, you know? Good day, motherfucker.
So if you and I were talking, Delmas, or you and Sean were talking, and Sean or I disrespected you, and maybe we made a racial comment, or we insulted you, you could just, boom, the light switch would go off, and you would grab a hold of us.
No, not really. That wouldn't piss me off. Yeah, that even because I have that deep breath, that wouldn't pop it off. But if you and I was sitting in my truck, and I'm trying to explain something to you, say if you asked me, like, for direction, I'm trying to tell you how to get somewhere. I'm trying to explain something to you, you know, face to face. When you came to me, right, if you're not getting it, you're not getting it, then you get all agitated, just cuss me out for no reason but some seven. You know, oh no, that shit ain't gonna happen. For the simple fact, you asked for my assistance, okay?
So if I got in your truck, and I was like, hey, listen, Mr. Colvin, I need to go to this state or this area, and you're telling me, and I start saying, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, you dumb son of a bitch, would that be it? Would the switch switch?
No, you have to do way further. I hear that every day. Now, if you come out with racial tone to talk about my mother,
oh,
you're dead, motherfucker.
Okay. If it was racial or I talked about your mother, okay.
That don't bother me. Talk about my mother, will. The racial tone. I hear that every day, even from my own people.
Yeah.
Words ain't never actions hurt me. Especially when I'm going out the way, I'm trying to help you. Like the one broad and shit. She said, I said, yeah, go ahead, you can use the CB. And when she said to use my phone, I tell her, hell no. She said, well, you ain't got to be a bitch about it. I'm thinking she called me a bitch. I'm fighting words. Just
tell Sean Delmas that is an interesting case. This is your first murder in New Jersey. No, it wasn't. Sorry about that. But you had a woman who wanted to use your CB. You let her. She wanted to use your cell phone. You said no. She called you a bitch. Now tell Sean how you explain it. Because I said, okay, you're sitting in the driver's seat of a big semi truck. She's in the passenger seat. She says that to you. Tell me what happened.
She used my CB because I said she could. It's a lot of stuff prostitute, but you UK people. And she used my CB. I said, go ahead, baby. And she said, can I use your cell phone? I tell her like this. I said, hell no. Just like that. And her exact words, well, you ain't got to be a bitch about it. Right then and there, as soon as she said it, I snatched her by her hair. I grabbed her by her throat. I drug her to the sleeper part of the truck, and it was Kurt. Right then and there. No questions asked.
I need you to say more than just curtains. You drag her in the back of the truck. I want you to explain it to me like I'm sitting in the back. What happens?
Yeah, we sit in the seat. First thing I do, I grab her by her hair and by her throat at the same time. Then I drag her to the sleeper part of the truck. And now I'm sitting on her chest. She's on her knees is on the floor, but her back is bent back towards the sleeper. And I'm strangling her just like that. I'm straddling her. That's how I'm strangling her. But if she would have been cordial, she would still be with her, but she wasn't.
So how long does it take, Delmas, when you're strangling a woman like that, how long does it take before you, how do you know she's dead, and how long does it take?
It takes a while. Believe that. It ain't like what you see in the damn movie. It takes a while. Sometimes your hands get cramped. And just to make sure, listen to the reason, just to make sure it's done, I would take a plastic bag, I would put it over her head and duct tape it, and I would strip her down, get ready for disposal. I will put her in a fetal position, so when rigor mortis set in at night, I got to dump it. It's ready for disposal. But it takes a while, and it ain't like what you see in the movie.
And then, Sean, what he does is drive down the freeway, pulls over in the dark, gets his boots on, carries the body 100 feet in the woods, lays it down. That's kind of how he goes on with his day.
So a question from CB, and that is there a sense of panic after a murder is committed?
Do you have any panic? Are you nervous after you kill someone?
Hell, nervous. I don't know. I'm not nervous, but I'm not excited. I'm the same. I'm back to the same guy. I mean, it's over with. What's there to be nervous about? I mean, you done did it. I mean, shit, the time to get scared was before you did it and while you're doing it. You know, don't get scared. No, I ain't never been nervous. Even when that damn cop pulled me over, man, and the first thing that fucker did was jump on the sideboard of my truck and say, like the curtain pulled, he said, anybody asleep? I'm like, hell no. I'm like, man, back to f***. Why you so close? You gonna propose marriage? I hurry up and pissed them off. He couldn't wait to give me that $130 fee. He forgot all about your sleeping department.
You know what's weird, Sean, is law enforcement pulls over a guy. He has a marijuana cigarette in his vehicle, and he's sweating bullets. Like, they know something's up. You pull over Delmas, who has a dead body in the truck. He's calm as can be.
There's another question here. There's a question here from Jack.
We got another question. Listen.
Do you feel an extreme adrenaline rush when killing?
When you start to kill someone, is there an adrenaline rush?
Hell yeah, it is. Man, you know what? No one had never asked me that. I was wondering, but it is. It's a, let me see. Hell. Can't even explain it. Remember the first time you smoked the joint? Remember that feeling? You take that and you times that by 100.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anything else, Sean?
That's what some people is the look in the eyes, the devastation on his face, the little fight they put up for a minute, two at the most, you know.
Delmas, when you put your hands around a victim's neck and they're looking at you, do they know?
Like,
do they know they're in trouble? Do they know?
They do, because the face tell it all. They know. First, they're surprised. Like, why is he doing this? Even in here, the guy I choked in the stairwell, the inmate in here, he was wondering. He was trying to ask me what I'm doing this.
But when you grab a female, you grab her by the neck. What is her reaction? Does she know?
Yeah.
She's in trouble?
No. At that time, she don't know. She's shocked. She's in shock of why I'm doing this. She thinks any minute I'll stop. And then, when reality finds finally set in, and she like from that state from pass out to the last state, and she just had that state. Now she realized, man, this is real. It ain't nothing I can do about it. It's too late. It's too late.
And which leads us to the question, Sean. If anybody's ever thinking, because I get this a lot when I'm training, they'll ask. Delmas calls every time I speak. They'll say, did anybody survive? Did anybody get away? Do you have any survivors? Delmas, do you have any survivors?
No one survives. No one. Tell me about the girl who said she got away.
Oh, yeah. He had a guy, a woman contacted me, Sean. You know, you get these all the time on email. She's like, I survived Delmas Colvin. He threw me out of his truck on the side of the freeway. I said, it don't sound like Delmas. And Delmas said it wasn't me. We got a question from Zoe.
Does Delmas see himself as a different species to his victims?
Do you see him as a different species than your victims?
What? I couldn't hear that smile. They're going to chow.
Do you feel like a different species than your victims? Are you better than them?
No. Yeah, I'm better at choking. I'm better at surviving. I'm better at watching what the fuck I say. And I would never get in a stranger's truck.
That's another thing, Delmas. If you were going to give advice to a prostitute, would you tell them not to be getting into strangers' trucks?
That would be, because you never know. You have no idea. No idea. It might work out and might lie. You know, like the guy I told you about. I was sitting in his truck. Hell, the hairs on my neck stood up. That fucker scared me. And I don't scare anybody in front of this. I'm like, oh my.
He meant another serial killer, Sean. He's talking about who had a cage behind the seats of the truck where he can tie women down in a cage.
Is that the one he sold a girl to?
Yes, that's the one you sold. What's her name? You sold someone to. What's her name?
Catalina.
Yeah, any more questions, Sean?
Yeah, a question from Viva.
Hey, we have more questions for you. We have more questions, DC. Hang tight.
So this question is from Viva. Does Delmas have any spiritual understanding of the consequences of his actions?
Delmas, any spiritual understanding? You might be going to hell. What do you think of this?
I know I am. What you mean I might be? I know I am. But you know what the great part about that is?
What's that?
There's going to be plenty of people there that I know. I won't be alone. There's plenty of people there that I know. I believe heaven and hell is right here on earth. It's what you make of it. You know, no one knows what happened when you did. I mean, you know, you hear stuff, you know. I had two near-death experiences when I hit the moose, and I didn't see no light at the end of the tunnel. I yelled like a little bitch. I thought it was over for me, but that moose come crashing through that damn window.
All right, questions, John?
Yeah, from Tyler.
Tyler.
Did killing give Delmas any sexual gratification?
Was this a sexual thing, Delmas? Did you get off sexually?
No. That's the part I don't get. People always ask that. How are you going to link killing and sex? I can never link the two. Sex is pure pleasure. That's why I had a fiance. I don't understand that. Guys doing that, like the jumping down the guy. I mean, what the hell? Sex with a corpse.
Delmas is not a lust killer. He's not having sex before or after the death of his victims. He's an anger retaliatory killer. Right, Delmas, you could have had sex with them before or after, but you just chose not to.
That ain't my thing. That, I mean, oh, no. Mm-hmm. I can never connect the two. No one,
what do you think about guys, Delmas? What do you think about guys that have sex with dead people?
You know, people say, I know I have issues, but there's some things I won't do, and that is one. That is, I don't see the turn on.
And you won't kill. And you won't kill children, right, Delmas? You don't kill children.
Oh, never. Last guy that asked me that, only reason I couldn't break his jaw because I was handcuffed. The detective came down from Pennsylvania and asked me that. Pissed me off, sir. I told that son of a bitch, you lucky I'm handcuffed. I was right here in the conference room. I said, you lucky I'm handcuffed because I'll freak your goddamn face.
You got anything else for us, Sean?
So, question from Cyrax. Question is, does Delmas feel any regrets or remorse to the family members of his victims?
Delmas, you have remorse?
Hell, regrets, remorse is for soccer and TV shows. I have none, and I sleep well at night, real well.
Yeah, so we've got a question from Irishman.
Irishman.
Yeah. did anybody inspire him to kill?
So, Delmas, did you ever, before you did this, I'll kind of lead in this question. Were you ever inspired by other killers?
No.
Did you ever watch any, like, shows on serial killers and say, man, I'd love to do that?
No. I watch a lot of shows. I watch a lot of movies, something like that. No, I was never inspired to be. I love music. I'm moving.
Do you ever watch Michael Myers? You ever watch Michael Myers in Halloween?
Yeah, I like the first two. Now the back, the rest was goofy. Just like on Friday the 13th. The original I like. The rest of them, man, they got so many of them. Jason, Jacobs.
So none of them inspired, nothing inspired you?
No. Nothing inspired.
Okay.
Question from Benjamin.
Well, you know what, Sean, that would be, what he's saying is, it goes right into what we're saying, is Delmas is, he's a retaliatory killer. He's not hunting for victims, so he's really not inspired. He just gets angry and kills
them. I just do it. what's it called? Your morbid frame of mind, you know, your dark side.
Yep.
You know, that's it. I mean, because you hear guys all the time, somebody cut you off in traffic. I can kill that fucker, this and that. I don't trip over that. Now, if you get, you know, like the one truck driver, he butted in my conversation. Called me all kinds of N-words, talked about my mama. I knew what I was going to do with him. I couldn't wait to see that son of a bitch again.
That was one of the males he killed, Sean, one of the truck drivers. So we have another, we're going to keep, Delmas, we're going to keep rattling questions to you. Answer quickly and let's keep moving. Go ahead.
Okay.
Benjamin wants to know his views on the death penalty.
What do you think about the death penalty, Delmas? Should we have a death penalty in the United States or no?
Well, personally, I think when a person committing crime, then that's the first thing from their mind, the death penalty. I truly believe that. And I also truly believe that the reason why I say it should be outlawed, for the simple fact, it's not used very judiciously. It is truly not. But you can count the number of white folks, white men, have actually been put to death for the killing of a black. And on the flip side of that coin, the numbers are way high. That's the main reason they don't want to televise a live execution, because the public would be all right. Imagine sitting on death row for 10, 12, 14 years. If that's not cruel and unusual, you know, what is? That's why I'm a reason. That's why I am against. I'm against it because the way it applies is not applied fairly.
And he's right. There's no rhyme or reason to the death penalty here in the United States. Some people kill one person, get the death penalty. Some people kill 90 and they got a life sentence. But Delmas was originally, Delmas was facing the death penalty. The only reason he's not on death row today is he gave him some cold cases, right?
So you tell your audience this, crime does pay because it saves my life.
Sally wants to know if Delmas feels at peace with himself or has ever felt at peace with himself.
Are you at peace, Delmas?
Of course. Why wouldn't I be? Of course. I mean, it is what it is. No, I'm going to die in prison. Okay, let's say that again. Delmas C. Colvin, a.k.a. Heavy, will die in prison. I'm good with that. I lived a good life. I had a great life. Ain't no remorse, no revenge, you know.
You're good with the life you had. You feel good about the things you've done.
Yeah.
And you've settled. You've settled with it that you're never going to get out.
Right. And tell us the great part about it, I'm the only guilty guy here.
What else you got, Sean? Anybody else?
We've got a lighthearted question from Corinne, and that is, what is his favorite cola?
What is your favorite soda, cola, pop, whatever you call it?
Color. Red, orange, yellow, blue.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Cola. What's your favorite color? Color. He said Dr. Pepper. He said Dr. Pepper. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color?
I don't have a favorite color.
Really? You don't? When you go out and buy a shirt, when you're going to go out and buy a shirt.
I wear an orange shirt.
Well, you got a prison shirt, bro. You're going to go out and buy a shirt and you're going to go out to dinner tonight with your girlfriend. Well, what kind of a... Well, blue. I was going to say blue. Blue. All right, Sean, we only got one more minute. Give us one, the best last question he has, and we'll let Elmas go. What do you got?
This is the last. Cristiano wants to know whether he frequented sex workers or just killed them.
Yes. No. Just killed them. No. I have back at home. I had some that worked for me. Yes, but on the road, no, I don't do that. No.
Tell them why you don't do that.
I don't want no net. First of all, I had to see a fiance at home. And second of all, I don't want nothing. I don't want something that 30 other trucks has been passed around like a joint. No, that's not me. I'm out there to make money. Not, you know, I might have to take time off the string with something, but that won't take long. I'm not out there for so I had a life back in Toledo. Good one. Had a fine woman at home.
Thank you for using GTL.
Wow. Well, thank you to Delmas for his time. What do you want to say to the viewers about that? Just reflecting on it, Phil.
Delmas Colvin is an anger retaliatory killer who is killing and strangling his stepmother every time someone makes him angry. Now, he doesn't want to admit that, but that's the story. And you know, at the age of 24, he had a hitchhiker in his truck in New Jersey, and she was giving him lip on where she wanted to go, and he had enough, and he just strangled her and dumped her body in New Jersey. And he said, I was expecting to get arrested any day, and he said the knock never came. And so he realized, I can get away with this. And he, what we see with serial killers is they, and you could say this with the Yorkshire Ripper, anybody, is they get better at what they do. As the more they kill, they get better at what they do. They kind of perfect their trade, I guess you say. And then towards the end, they get careless. And anybody you look at in the UK, Europe, or anybody who's been arrested, serial killers like the Yorkshire Ripper, is they get careless at the end. They do dumb shit and they get arrested. Colvin strangled a woman in front of his best friend and made his best friend dump the body. They found the body 3 days later, got DNA, and they arrested him. Ted Bundy freaked out at the end. He beat a bunch of women in a sorority house with a log, and then he grabbed a 12-year-old girl off of a schoolyard and killed a 12-year-old girl. I mean, that's crazy. What is he doing? John Wayne Gacy meets a guy at his local pharmacy where he's working. He's doing some project there. And he kills the boy. Everybody knows who he is. He gets caught. I mean, Dahmer lets a guy go with a handcuff on his arm. How do you let a guy go? I mean, he's never done that before, but he got careless. So BTK sent a floppy disk to the police department, and they tracked it to his church. They just get overconfident, and their kills, they step up their murders. Like, they start killing at a rapid pace, and then they get caught. So Delmas is no different.
With Delmas, then, if he acknowledged that he was killing a figment of his stepmother, would that be the path to him being reformed? Is it possible to reform someone like Delmas?
No, I don't think anybody who's a psychopathic serial killer like that could ever be reformed and should never be released. One of my chapters in my book coming out is we've released probably over 50 serial killers in the United States, and many of them have killed again. You know, we got a couple school shooters we're working with who are going to be paroled. You know, their brains weren't fully developed. They were young. They were 15, 16, 14 years old. You might be able to rehabilitate those kids, and they could go on to lead productive lives. But a serial killer, psychopathic serial killer, especially if it involves torture, sodomy, rape, cannibalism, necrophilia, any of that, my God, I don't think any of those guys should ever get released. And hopefully, you know, he's Delmas. If the one question nobody asks is, would you kill again if you got released? And Delmas says the answer, Delmas is yes, I would.
Yeah, we had the kid on that you brought on, the school shooter who was bullied, and the kid set fire to him. And the viewers were really starting to understand his side of the story.
Yeah.
And they believed that he could get out and be a good citizen.
So you're talking about Charles Andy Williams from Santa Ana, California, Sean, and he is up for parole this year. He just got his parole board, his parole hearing, and he's probably going to be released within 12 months from prison. He's got two college degrees. He's married. He's a drug counselor, and I think he's going to do well.
Are you instrumental in the decision for them to let him out? For example, do you give him a reference or anything?
I do that very, very little, but with him, I did.
And just to reiterate then to the viewers, we're not trying to glamorize any of this. Phil, yeah. You work in education, don't you, with law enforcement and stuff? Could you just let the viewers know why you do this again?
Yeah, I mean, Sean and I are kind of interviewing a serial killer right now, and some of it's kind of shocking and funny what he's saying, but, you know, my work is very serious. I've been working for decades with law enforcement, school administrators, professionals in the U.S., training them how to profile and how to spot dangerous people. So I talk about teen killers, teenage killers, school shooters, mass murderers, and serial killers. I also want to give I educate my audience on just the facts and the stats and the numbers. And I'll give your audience some numbers. You know, when you look at American crime, we do not have the deadliest school shootings. Germany has deadlier school shootings than the U.S. We do not have the deadliest mass shootings. Russia just had 133 killed. New Zealand had 50. Norway had 77. Our deadliest mass shooting is 58. So we don't have the deadliest mass shootings. We don't have the deadliest suicide rate. China and Japan do. We don't have the deadliest homicide rate. We're at the 50% percentile. We don't even have the deadliest serial killer. Our deadliest serial killer killed 93. Sam Little, the deadliest serial killer in the world, is the Beast of Columbia. He killed 221 little boys. So we have crime here. You have to be careful. But I always tell people about the United States. For any of you outside the U.S., here's the deal with the United States. You can live in a place that's safe and never have to worry about crime. There are places like that. But if you join a gang, if you sell or buy drugs, if you sell or buy sex, you put yourself at risk of possibly being killed. Or if you hang out in urban inner city areas where crime is rampant, you put yourself in those positions. So you don't get involved in things I said, and you don't live in a crime-ridden neighborhood, pretty good chance you'll be all right.
Yeah, so you've mentioned the extremes around the world, but does America have a higher frequency of serial killers, or is it just that they get more reported?
No, America does have the most serial killers. Now, I said we don't have the deadliest, but we have the most. We've had 4,000 American serial killers so far. So we definitely, the culture here is serial killers, and we do have a culture of mass shootings. Not the deadliest, but we still have a culture of mass shootings. So what's happening here, Sean, I don't know about the UK or where all your viewers are from, but after we had this COVID lockdown here in the U.S., people have lost the will to live here. Our homicide rate went from 12,000 to 16,000 after COVID. Our suicide rate doubled in many populations. You know the biggest double is? Teenage females, young girls, are killing themselves at alarming rates. We've had an increase in mass shootings and increase in school shootings. So it is getting kind of crazy here after COVID. But yes, Sean, we have the most serial killers. That's our culture. We have a suicide problem, not as bad as other countries. We have an urban violence problem that's rampant. And it's almost unsolvable because you got criminals who don't follow laws buying guns that are illegal. And, you know, and you look at the UK. I love the UK, by the way. And in the UK, they've banned guns. And they thought that would stop crime. Well, they're finding out now that they've moved to knives. And now they're trying to ban knives. Well, guess what? Take their fucking knives. They're going to use hammers. And you're going to ban hammers. Eventually, they're just going to kill you with their hands and feet. In fact, in the United States, hands and feet are deadlier than rifles, shotguns, you know, in a lot of weapons. People just beat each other to death. So, you know, the issue is people. And people have lost hope. People are violent. They've lost hope. They're suicidal. It's a very scary time, actually.
Would you say then there is something unique about American culture that has generated this high frequency of serial killers? Have you got any theories of that?
That's a good question. I think it's like once it starts, people kind of see that and glamorize it. And you know, I was talking to a guy yesterday. He's the Zodiac copycat in New York. And if you want to look him up, his name is Heriberto Seda, S-E-D-A. He was He lived in poverty in New York City. He got turned down to join the military. He always wanted to be like a Green Beret. And he was watching a TV show on serial killers, and he saw the Zodiac, and he said, I could do that. And he became the Zodiac in New York City. This happened in Los Angeles, but it was across the country. He started sending letters to the police and the media, and they said, oh, the Zodiac's reappeared in New York. And it wasn't the Zodiac. It was a copycat Zodiac. But it's the American culture where people say, you know, I they fantasize about it. They say, I can do that. A lot of it has to do with the violent torture pornography we have. A lot of kids see that from a young age. A lot of these guys discovered pornography at very young ages. John Wayne Gacy, Ed Gein, Dennis Rader, BTK, Ted Bundy. A lot of them started young with these detective magazines and early pornography. So, yeah, that's the culture we live in.
Wow. Huge thank you, Phil. It's always deeply fascinating and gruesome, but we appreciate what you're doing. And for the viewers who are watching this then, your links are below the description box on YouTube. And where can they find you and support you?
Yeah, so I just want to say I post every day about 3 in the morning here in the U.S., on Instagram and Facebook. I post crime stories every day to keep you guys apprised of what's going on in crime, both in the U.S. and the world. So if you like true crime, I think you'd like my pages. So follow me on Facebook and Instagram. Now, I've got 2 Facebooks, and I want to tell you guys real quick, I don't want you to follow the wrong Facebook. The Facebook that has this blue picture of me, this is a hacked Facebook that I can't take down. Don't follow that page, okay? Follow my picture on it. But I have a book coming out this summer. You guys follow me on socials. You know about it. We're pitching a TV show. Have you ever heard of the legendary show Unsolved Mysteries, aired in the U.S. The producer of Unsolved Mysteries is my producer, and we are pitching a TV show right now. But last thing I want to say, Sean, is I want to come to your country. So this summer, bring me to the U.K. Bring me to Australia. Bring me to Europe. A couple of airfares and a hotel room. My wife and I would love to come. We want to start going out and expanding this message to the world. So if I can come to your country and do something, let's do it.
So if any events people are watching or any events people I know, get in touch and let's hook this up. And again, Phil's links are in the description box. And this was an educational video. So we're just raising awareness about what these guys do, their methods, etc., so people can be educated to prevent this from happening in the future. Cheers again, Phil. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, guys.
Watch out. Y'all move.
Go. Lauren, catch.
Just the girl. How are you, honey?
This is bolt cutters.
This is our investor. He's a paramedic. Okay, we're going to get you out of there, okay?
Just hang loose for me.
Anybody
got? I need a handcuff key.
I got it right here.
Hold up, y'all slide back.
Hold on. We gotta get a picture. Randy, let me see your light, Randy. You can put your handcuffs on. You're okay. We're here, okay?
Yes, sir. Y'all sit back.
Light on or off?
Because we'll get the rest of it here. Let's get her out of here.
We're getting bolt cutters, honey. Don't. You got pictures of the cuts?
No. Hold on.
Bolt cutter. Just hit the chain right there loose. Just right there at her hand, Brandon. We'll get it off.
We'll get it off. Yeah, put it right here.
Do you know where your buddy is?
You shot him?
Who did it?
Todd Pullhead shot Charlie Carver 3 times in the chest, wrapped him in a blue tarp, put him in the bucket of the tractor, locked me down here. I never seen him again. He says he's dead and buried. He says there's several bodies dead and buried out here. He says that the dogs are ruined, that they're looking to the roof over.
We're going to step you up so we can look because there's what?
Okay.
Tell the dog people that.
He says there's paper everywhere around.
Hey, Todd, how you doing?
Good morning.
How you doing?